Tuesday, June 15th on the Zone Daily Podcast, and today we go in-depth with Arizona and Virginia baseball. Saturday night, Arizona will see Vanderbilt. Sunday afternoon on Father's Day, it'll be Tennessee and UVA in the bottom half of the College World Series bracket. And today, we give you a couple of things to know about both opponents, what they bring to the table, and how they got to the College World Series. Plus, a roundup from the NBA, what Trae Young did last night that was notable, and what Joel Embiid didn't do that was certainly notable. And on top of that, the first trip in quite some time for the Montreal Canadiens to Las Vegas didn't go well. We'll recap those as well. Take a look at some soccer going on for your Tuesday. It's June the 15th, and it's the Zone Daily Podcast.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast with Will Bowling.
What's up? I'm Will Bowling. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of the Zone Daily Podcast. We start in Atlanta. Great city. My Atlanta Hawks. I'm the most casual NBA fan in the world. I've got to text my buddies to ask them how my Atlanta Hawks are doing. My Atlanta Hawks got a win to even the series against the Philadelphia 76ers on Monday night. Trae Young overcame a pretty cold start, but ended up scoring 25 points, including a floater that gave Atlanta the lead with a minute 17 left, as the Hawks came back to beat the 76ers 103-100, tying the Eastern Conference semifinal at 2-2. Philadelphia blew an 18-point lead, and may have bigger concerns because Joel Embiid, their big man, their leader, spent time in the locker room in the second quarter. He was 0-for-12 from the field in the second half. He did still somehow finish with 17 points and 21 rebounds, though. Bogdan Bogdanovic, he had 22 points for the Hawks. John Collins had 14 points and 12 rebounds. Trae Young was only 8-of-26 from the field but had 18 assists, which matched a career high for the Atlanta Hawks to even things up with the Philadelphia 76ers. Not going to talk a lot of NBA on this podcast, but that team intrigues me. And it's a pretty good series, tied up 2-2 right now in the Eastern Conference semis. All right, switching gears on ice now. Montreal dropped its first game in the States in a long time. A big win for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, a 4-1 win in the first game of the Stanley Cup semifinal. That's odd. I don't like it. I would rather just stay with the Eastern Conference Final or the Western Conference Final. That is not a luxury that we have in 2021. It's Vegas's fifth straight victory in the playoffs ever since they came back to defeat the Colorado Avalanche, who people were claiming were the dominant team in the National Hockey League. Las Vegas ended their season, and now they're 25% of the way to ending Montreal's season. That ended the Canadiens' postseason win streak at 7. Game 2 will be tomorrow night. It also, this was so interesting to me, it marked Montreal's first game in the United States since March 7th, 2020, when it visited the Florida Panthers. It was also the Canadiens' first game with more than 2,500 fans in attendance since March 10th, 2020, when they hosted the Nashville Predators, with 21,000 fans inside the Bell Center up there in Montreal. Look, if you like to bet the National Hockey League, I'm putting money early on in these series on the American teams that have been playing in front of crowds much more often than the Canadians have. So that makes a lot of sense for the American teams to have the advantage in hostile environments that the Canadian teams just haven't been able to play in 2021. All right, time to get into the big discussion on today's podcast. Tennessee and Vanderbilt knows its opponents. And today it's time to break down exactly who they are. We start with the University of Virginia, who will take on the Tennessee Volunteers. That one will start at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Name to remember is Kyle Teal, because right now he's the big man on campus at the University of Virginia. The freshman hit a go-ahead grand slam in the bottom of the seventh inning yesterday to help the Virginia Cavaliers get past Dallas Baptist 5-2 in the deciding game of a best-of-three super regional in Columbia, South Carolina. They'll get Tennessee in game one, like we said, in UVA's fifth trip to Omaha and their first since 2015, when they won the national championship. But the journey to get there has been one of the more interesting journeys in all of college baseball this season. So, first of all, Virginia played in the Columbia-South Carolina Regional. Typically, you're playing at the regional site of the number one overall seed in each regional to start the NCAA tournament. That wasn't the case in Columbia. South Carolina was the two seed. Old Dominion was the one seed. Yet Virginia, the three seed in the Columbia-South Carolina Regional, comes out of that regional despite having their backs against the wall for much of their time in the regional and in the Super. They became the third team on Monday in Division I history to win six elimination games on its way to Omaha. Number three seed, they lost their first game to the South Carolina Gamecocks in their home stadium before winning four straight games to advance just to the Super Regional this past weekend. And in that Super, they lost 6-5 to Dallas Baptist before coming from behind to win both games on Sunday and yesterday on Monday, a game that Dallas Baptist led early. They trailed 2-1 going into the seventh inning, and they still found a way to win it. The loss denied Dallas Baptist its first trip to the College World Series. That is a proud program that has moved up from Division II to Division I in 2004. They fall just short, so it'll be Virginia, a team who comes in at 34-25 after starting ACC play, get this, 6-12, before going on to win 12 of its final 18 conference games. They've got a coaching staff that's one of the most experienced coaching staffs in the country. Brian O'Connor is going back to his hometown. The head coach was born in Omaha, Nebraska. He's been their coach since 2004, and he led his team to an NCAA regional in his first season, which started a streak of 14 consecutive postseason appearances. The arm to remember for Virginia is All-ACC pitcher Andrew Abbott, who comes into Omaha with an 8-6 record, a 3.04 ERA, and he's been the guy for a really good Virginia pitching attack. Here's the biggest thing that stands out about him and about Virginia. This guy's going to get a lot of swing and misses. Andrew Abbott was a semifinalist for the Golden Spikes Award given to college baseball's most impactful player. He has 152 strikeouts versus just 32 earned runs. That's 13.68 strikeouts per nine innings as well, which ranks Andrew Abbott 12th nationally in all of college baseball. So for a Tennessee lineup that does hit a lot of home runs, they've got to be really patient and pick their pitches and obviously be in attack mode like Tony Vitello likes to tell his team into a microphone or just in the dugout. This Tennessee team has grinded out at bats and has been really patient at the plate for a lot of this season. That's going to be paramount in game one against this Virginia team if Andrew Abbott ends up getting the ball. The Cavaliers have posted the 16th best team ERA in the nation at 3.7. And you got to think, with how big TD Ameritrade Ballpark is, that's a concern for Tennessee. How well Virginia has pitched all throughout the season and the way that they come into Omaha. We said this on yesterday's podcast as well, that one of the advantages Tennessee is going to have is timely hitting. This team finds ways to win late in games, even if they're down a couple runs in the seventh, eighth, or ninth innings. Virginia can say the same thing. This team started ACC play 6-12. They had to win six elimination games. They are perfectly fine being the underdog in this sense, and also playing with their backs against the wall. This is the first time that Tennessee can't really play that underdog, slept-on card. Now there's a little bit of pressure on Tennessee, and this is going to be our first chance to see how well they handle that pressure and handle the high expectations now that top-seeded Arkansas isn't in the picture, and your chances of a national title have grown exponentially over the last 48 hours. So in that game, there's going to be power against power. Tennessee's bats against a really strong Virginia ace, and a good Cavaliers pitching staff. Tennessee's going to have to get a little creative, like they did in Hoover. Lots of extra base hits, walks, just putting the ball in play and not striking out. And this team would advance to get the winner of Texas and Mississippi State in Game 2, which would be on Tuesday night in Omaha. So Arizona will match up against Vanderbilt. That one's going to be at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, marking Arizona's 18th trip to the College World Series in one of the most storied program histories in all of college baseball. This is a blue blood versus blue blood matchup. Obviously, Vanderbilt has become a blue blood over the past decade, but they are certainly still no Arizona, who've been doing this for quite some time. The Wildcats, they had to battle back from the brink as well, losing 13-2 on Saturday night to Ole Miss, then coming back to dominate Game 3 after winning Game 1 in their home ballpark to punch their ticket to Omaha. In fact, earlier this year, Arizona's been blown out a couple of times. They lost a 21-2 game to a pretty bad Washington State team earlier on this season. But what's really propelled them to Omaha is A, a really good bullpen, but B, and perhaps more importantly, the hottest offense in college baseball. Arizona has had excellent pitching out of the bullpen, including four guys who pitched a bullpen game on Sunday to down the Rebels. The Wildcats relievers have compiled a 2.89 ERA across 28 postseason innings. So then if you take out that middle game where Arizona lost 13-2 to Ole Miss, which included 6 2/3 innings and 5 earned runs for the Arizona battery, that figure falls to a 1.69 earned run average in the postseason for this Arizona bullpen. And Kumar Rocker and the Vanderbilt pitching staff will have to face center fielder Dante Williams, who leads Arizona in postseason with a 4.81 batting average, a 5.64 on base percentage. He's scored 9 runs. He's walked 5 times. He's stolen 3 bases. And he was above 500 over the weekend against Ole Miss, hitting 8 for 14 against a really good Ole Miss Rebels team. Their bats have been tremendous. Arizona swept the Tucson Regional by a combined score of 21-8. They've got a 3.63, gosh, team batting average in 6 NCAA tournament games. And 4 Wildcats are hitting 4.64 or higher. This, to me, is a fascinating matchup between an Arizona lineup that's hitting as well as anybody in the country and, of course, the two best starting pitchers in college baseball in Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. Strength on strength in this matchup, too. Getting to see Vanderbilt pitch against the hottest team in college baseball will be a blast. And can Vanderbilt wake up its bats a little bit? They didn't lose, obviously, in their Super Regional against East Carolina, but this is a big ballpark. They didn't give a lot of pop in their home park against ECU. Going to be really interesting to see how Vanderbilt shows up in Game 1 on Saturday night in Nebraska. So a little preview for your day today. We're talking soccer again. It's a big summer of soccer. You've got the South American Championship going on, the Copa America. Those are happening pretty much later afternoon. But today, you've got a barn burner in the European Championship. 2 o'clock today, take a long lunch. I'm giving you permission right now to take a long lunch and watch France and Germany. France, of course, is the defending World Cup champion. Kylian Mbappe, for me, is the best player in the world under the age of 23, and he's just the best player in the world, period. It's incredible what he's been able to do. He's one of the budding stars in the world of sports, and they get a Germany team that won the World Cup in 2014. So the last two World Cup champions going up against one another at 2 o'clock in the group stage of the European Championships. Those two teams are part of the group of death. Going to be a really fun game. Hope you'll at least pop it on for a minute. If it's going to get you a longer lunch, maybe you can use an excuse that you lost track of time watching the last two World Cup champions. You can thank me later once you enjoy France and Germany. One thing you will also enjoy are the rest of the podcast this week. We've got a busy week coming up. Lots more Tennessee and Vanderbilt prep. The College World Series is fast approaching, and we'll continue to talk about it with you right here on the Zone Daily Podcast.